MIT Smut Interlude by Saber CMC, read by Cookie Mom 6067. His feet were cold. They were sticking out the bottom of the comforter, which had bunched up during the night. He didn't really want to move, though. That seemed wildly unnecessary, all things considered. Every other part of him was warm, after all. Sidled up next to Steve in the center of the bed, with the comforter pulled up so high the edge of it tickled his chin. He shifted his feet up and tucked his toes in the sliver of space between the bed and the curve of Steve's calf, earning a sharp intake of air from his alpha, followed by the bounce and give of the mattress as Steve sat up enough to toss the comforter further down the bed. A nice gesture, Tony thought, though he ignored it. Instead, Tony pushed his toes further under Steve's leg, stretching and flexing them a bit. He was nude, except the dog tags that warmed his chest, as was Steve, though his toes weren't cold, Tony would bet. Steve was always warm, like his body remembered being cold enough for a lifetime and refused to allow it to happen again. "Are you cold?" Steve asked. He sounded awake, clear-headed, watchful. It should probably be annoying, the rise and shine of it all, but the alertness was comforting somehow. "Well, not now," Tony answered, the words coming out thick and sluggish with sleep. "You're warm." Tony shifted slightly as Steve settled back down, buried his head into Steve's side, one hand splayed over Steve's stomach. He snuggled in closer and rubbed his fingers lightly over the planes of Steve's stomach. Steve hummed, a contented sound that Tony wondered if he knew he was making. Tony smiled a bit at the noise, a fissure of pleasure ghosting down his spine, and curled his toes into the sheet underneath Steve's leg. It was Sunday, one of those cold, whited-out Sundays that made the world itself seem half asleep. Everything outside slowed, ground down to nearly a halt, and took everyone with it by some silent, mutually understood agreement. Hunker. That was the word. We will hunker. It was one of those words that sounded a bit like the meaning, made you kind of want to hunch and squat when you said it. Hunker, Tony thought, and rubbed the bridge of his nose against Steve's side to scratch an itch. Hunker down and stay inside. Leave the icy cold to transform the world outside as it will. Across the room, a layer of frost outlined the window, where the edges of the curtain let in long panels of shadowed light. A nor'easter, they said, though the way the men at the corner deli who crowded around the small metal tables that wobbled no matter how many napkins you put under the leg said it, it sounded like they were gnawing at the word. "A nor'easter," Tony mentally repeated. The word had a sort of talismanic quality to it. Netflix and hibernate, he thought, with a slight smile. No Steve slipping out of bed with a quick kiss to Tony's forehead before going for his morning run. Tony liked those moments when the bed was still warm, still smelled like them, and he could burrow down and wrap the down comforter around him, let sleep slowly pass the baton to wakefulness. Steve would turn on the coffee pot before he left the apartment. When the caffeinated siren beeped, Tony would make himself get up. If the weather was decent, and sometimes when it wasn't, he would put on his robe, pour a mug of coffee, and walk outside to wait on the building's stone steps. He liked to watch Steve run. He liked to watch Steve do a lot of things, but when he would see Tony leaning up against the gray stone sidewall that buttressed the steps, if there wasn't anyone else out walking their dog or off to catch one of the early trains, if the street was quiet, as it often was, if no cars eased past and no trucks trundled over the potholes that Mrs. Kaczynski wrote her letters to City Hall about, if it was just the two of them, he would stop being Steve for a moment. He would shift, Tony thinks, blinking at the thought. Shift, change, become. Gait elongating, body thrumming, muscles bunching with barely contained power, and suddenly he would be Captain America, practically flying over the pavement on his way up the hill, because he knew Tony liked to watch him run. Once he grabbed Tony mid-stride, picked him up and twirled him around, and Tony could have sworn he felt his ears pop with the force trying to pull him back to the ground while Steve's laugh echoed in his chest. If the tea is running, Rhodey's coming over later to help me with my robotics project, Tony mumbled, stifling a yawn. Steve snorted a puff of air, then made a skeptical sound that had a smile behind it. Fine. I already did most of the project, Tony admitted, then pressed a kiss to the outline of Steve's rib. His project was currently sitting in a pile of wires and electrodes in the robot's bedroom, which was what he called the spare room, where Dummy and you were stashed with their posters of Wall-E, BB-8, and the Curiosity rover on the wall. Eventually, he hoped, if he could get the damn algorithm right, the system would detect feedback of person's brain waves in just a few seconds without even needing a voice command. In theory, it was exhausting trying to think his way through each command, though. Felt unnatural. Had to be an easier way, but damn if he could think of it. Anyway, point being, it was mostly, almost, sort of all the way done. We're going to watch the extended editions of The Lord of the Rings. Please don't nitpick the battles this time. Wouldn't dream of it, Steve said. He pulled his arm out from under the pillow and wrapped it around Tony's shoulder, his fingers tracing little lines up and down the top of Tony's arm. Tony grinned, nipped lightly at Steve's skin, then kissed the same spot before lifting his eyes up to Steve's in what he intended to be a coy expression. But he found himself laughing, resting his chin on Steve's stomach so he could feel the roll and shudder of Steve's answering chuckle. Repeat after me. The Eagles are not special ops. The Eagles are not special ops, Tony intoned evenly, then broke face and bit his lower lip, trying and failing to hold back another laugh. I just said, if you have air support, why... Okay, fine, Steve cut himself off at Tony's reproaching glare, then smiled and laid his head back on the pillow. His hand was tracing a path up and down Tony's back, tangling a bit in the hair at Tony's nape on each pass. Yes, you're obviously right about the Deus Ex Eagles, but you gotta admit, Helm's Deep was cool, Tony added. He punctuated his argument with strokes of his hand over Steve's stomach, admiring the ripple of muscle that tapered to a deep V bound by thick cords over his thighs, then looked up at Steve again, vision going blurry for a moment. Steve was watching him, half-hooded eyes following Tony's movements, features going waxy and soft in the dim morning light. He stretched, back bowing a bit under the half-slope of Tony's body that was slowly interloping its way over his. Tony rode out the motion, then settled, resting his head on Steve's chest just below his heart. He could hear the rabbity thud of it wave-like against the shell of his ear. "Red tails," Tony blurted out. Rhodey said they should have given them red tails. Like the Tuskegee Airmen, you know? Of course you do. Something, anyway. I didn't notice. Is that weird that I didn't notice? I was so busy noticing that it didn't mean people liked me, except for being carted off to some distant shore when things went to shit. Though, at least we look good, so there's that. But Men of the West didn't mean him either, did it? I should have noticed. Men of the West left out a lot of people, Steve said, after a beat of heavy silence. Then a harsh laugh, though it wasn't bitter, just carried self-awareness tinged with the threat of regret. Much as I like the idea of sending you off somewhere safe, I'm trying to picture the conversation where I tell you this and coming up blank. You'd have given those orcs hell, though, Steve added, then looked down at Tony with a faux frown. Did you really refer to Director Fury as Sauron?
Because of the one eye thing, Come on, that's funny, Tony protested. Who snitched? Was it Paz? It was Coulson, wasn't it? Because I mocked his forms. I'm going to hack their system and block Galaga, I swear to God. Clint has the three highest scores, but I think he only cares because he enters his initials as ASS, which, like, no one is exactly suggesting that's inaccurate or anything. Anyway, I just wanted to know when you'd be back. He was being less than forthcoming. Was he pissed?
He was trying to sound it, but he had the burning eye thing as his screensaver, so I think you're fine, Steve said. You told James about me, Steve observed, more a statement than a question. They had already talked about telling Rhodey, though Steve left it up to Tony to decide. He carried the knowledge around for all of 3 days, like a balloon inside him ready to burst, before letting the air out in one long-winded spiel.
while Rhodey stared at him with a half-eaten calzone in one hand, a big gulp in the other, and his laptop with his lecture notes from Wardle's structural mechanics class. Maybe, Tony admitted, through half a yawn. He showed up here a week ago in Captain America pajama pants, toting a waffle maker that appears to make waffles meant to look like my shield, Steve added, with a slight grimace of distaste. He thinks I'm having a go at him, or you are full of it, or something. It is pretty impossible to believe, even for me sometimes. Besides, he knows you, and you're, well, you. And Captain America is a legend. The perfect hero, knight in shining armor and all that. You're Steve, Tony replied, ceasing his wandering fingers, stroking and twisting his head to look up at Steve. I'm not sure how to take that, Steve said, then let out a low laugh and brought the hand that had been tracing some kind of pattern on Tony's spine up to scrub his face before dropping it down again. It came to rest on the top of Tony's head, fingers lacing through his hair in soft strokes that made his scalp tingle. You make dad jokes, can't be trusted with the car radio, and say things like, swell. You said the new Call of Duty game was the bee's knees after totally kicking our asses at it, by the way. And I know you're fucking with me on that one. But Rhodey is an innocent, trusting lamb who thinks you're a giant dork, Tony told him. He looked up, caught Steve's somewhat abashed expression, then grinned. I mean, you are a dork, but don't worry, you're my dork. Thanks, Steve replied, then shook his head, mouth ticking up into a small smile. How were the waffles? Not as aerodynamic as one would hope, Tony said, giving Steve a wide-eyed look that he hoped bordered on innocent. Not that we were tossing them across the room or anything. There was one stuck to the ceiling fan, Steve said flatly. Tony shrugged a bit and shimmied further on top of Steve. He pulled his feet out from beneath Steve's leg and moved a knee in between Steve's legs. Steve raised an eyebrow but didn't say anything. Tony laid his head back down, pillowed on Steve's chest, bobbing gently up and down with the steady rise and fall of Steve's breathing. You might have to throw a car or something to prove it to him, Tony added, glancing back up at Steve and pursing his lips like he was considering the idea. I'm just saying. Coulson said I can't do that anymore, Steve said in a deadpan voice. Then he smiled wide and full and dropped the hand that had been petting Tony's head to one side. He showed me a regulation. I'm pretty sure he wrote it. Tony blinked and rolled his eyes, then scrunched his face up and shifted again and scooted up until he was lying flat across Steve's chest with his feet pointed down between Steve's legs. His dog tags lay bunched up in front of him, one on top of the other. He reached out and picked at them with the edge of his finger, absently tracing the letters and numbers there, though he knew them from memory. Kind of makes you want to do it again, doesn't it? Tony asked with a playful smile. You know, it really does, Steve agreed. Steve laughed then, loud and full-bodied, with a smile that lit up his face like a beacon. It was the laugh Tony loved, the one that belonged to him, but had started to belong more and more to both of them, to that space in between them that was slowly filling with all kinds of things, he thought. Good things, happy things, laughter and joy and coffee machine beeps, warm toes and roving hands, and soft places to land when they needed them. Steve's laughter subsided, hiccuping to an end after a few aborted attempts to stop. He looked down at Tony, cradled to his chest, riding out the laughter. A different look, dark and heated, passed over his face. His hand came up again, this time cupping the back of Tony's neck with just enough pressure to send a jolt of fiery need from Tony's stomach down to the head of his cock. The scent of musk and spice and sex hit him, winding its way down and settling deep in his chest. Alpha scent. Steve. Christmas, Tony thought, though he couldn't place the reason until much later when it would come to him before he drifted off to sleep that night. Heat dripped into Tony's belly as it poured through a sieve. A burgeoning pressure came behind it in little waves that lapped against the inside of his stomach, then dipped lower. Steve's cock, already hard and full, rubbed against his own. The friction hurt and felt good, making his vision wide out for a moment while his brain tried to decide how to handle the dueling impulses. His muscles went loose, quivering a bit at the sudden sensation. A warm rush of slick coated his ass and the tops of his thighs. Steve's nostrils flared, blotches of red dotted over his skin. Tony licked his lips and watched Steve's eyes follow the motion. "We're snowed in," Tony pointed out, looking up at Steve through his lashes. He picked up the dog tags, holding them for a moment between two fingers, hovering over Steve's chest. With a slight flick of his hand, he took them between his lips, almost like a kiss. A coppery metal taste filled his mouth. His breath hitched, caught. Steve's eyes had gone dark, pupils blown wide. His mouth was slightly parted, breaths coming in shallow pants. Tony watched his tongue trace the seam of his lips, along the same spot where the dog tags sat curled against Tony's own tongue. Tony dropped them, watched Steve's eyes track the movement. He could feel Steve's cock straining into his belly. A fresh rush of warm slick leaked out of his hole as it loosened. "Nowhere to go. Stuck in here, just the two of us," Tony said, clucking his tongue around the words and still tasting the tang of metal on his tongue. One finger traced little swirling circles across Steve's chest, just below the pert pink nipples. Tony stretched up, darted his tongue out, and licked a half moon at the edge of darkened skin, where it puckered and thickened around the nub. He heard Steve grunt and looked up. What he saw made him grin, coyly this time. Then he craned his neck up and took the nipple in his teeth, rolling his tongue over the tip before letting it pop out into the cool air. Underneath him, Steve's whole body shuddered. "Like Caravilli, with Signor Fiocca, and his sister, don't forget the sister. What was her name? Marita claimed to be in love, remember?" Tony prodded. He turned his attention to the other nipple, catching it in his mouth and pursing his lips around it to suck. "Hmm," Steve murmured in answer, blinking at him slowly, eyes dark and wide, mouth gone slack. "Delia. Delia Fiocca." Tony thought the name sounded like music when Steve said it, so foreign and wild. He would ask Steve to take him there one day, to Caravilli, see the mountains over the orange-topped roofs over pale brown stone houses. See if there were any Fiocas still around. If maybe they had creamy tan skin and eyes shaped like almonds. Steve's hands slipped down over Tony's shoulders and down his back, cupping the soft globes of Tony's ass. He squeezed, then massaged the flesh, digging his fingers in, pulling the cheeks wide apart, making Tony's hole flutter and wink as more slick leaked out. It covered Steve's fingers and flowed down the crease of Tony's ass to puddle over Steve's cock. Tony let out a long, low moan. One long, thick finger pushed inside his hole to the knuckle, hooked upward, tugging just a bit at Tony's rim before straightening and pushing deeper. Tony sighed and pressed back, chasing the feeling of fullness and not enough, wanting more. Steve obliged him, sliding a second finger in, and oh, that felt good. He was already loose, and the burn felt good, steady and deep, deeper even than Steve's fingers deep inside. Another spurt of warmth, and he barely noticed the third finger pumping into him, in and over, while his eyes rolled back in his head, and his mouth fell open in a silent oh. "Twice his age and three times his size." He said it was her sauce, but the way he said it, she'd blush and laugh and swat him with her apron, Steve recalled, keeping up the rhythm with his fingers, spreading them wide, then spearing them together, wide again until they weren't enough, and Tony wanted more. "Delia," he said again. "Music," Tony thought. "Delia Fiocca."
"Dugan got pneumonia. You took him to the convent," Tony said with a sudden jerk of his hips. He buried his head into Steve's chest, digging his forehead in. His mouth was wet, sloppy, he didn't care. He pressed a wet kiss to Steve's breastbone. There had once been a scar there, bisecting Steve's chest, though it was long gone. If Tony closed his eyes, he could still see it, red and blistered with the skin stretched too tightly. "All the king's horses, and all the king's men," Tony thought. "They just keep putting Steve back together again. I do. I do that now. He's mine. You can't have him. He wasn't sure who he meant or who he was talking to. Maybe himself, but he was sure he meant it. Some scars never left, and Tony supposed he would carry that one with him for the rest of his days. It was as much there as the one high on Tony's own cheek. From when I fell off my bike, he thought, before pushing it away. File that one in a desk drawer, he told himself. Desk drawer, he repeated somewhat giddily to himself. Or not. Not anymore, never again, he thought, and went back to kissing a path down Steve's chest, lower and lower, until sparse hairs tickled his nose, and he looked back up at Steve's face. His head was thrown back. The cords of his throat stood out. A fine sheen of sweat coated his face and chest. Tony pushed himself up and licked a stripe to the hollow of Steve's throat. He tasted like salt and soap and Steve. Alpha. Nuns put him in front of the altar in the chapel, Steve continued, voice warm, thick-tongued, and almost dreamy with the haze of memory. Put candles burning at his head and feet, and an oiled cheesecloth over his nose, like some monarch lying in state. He woke up and thought he was dead. You said you heard him hollering from outside the walls, Tony reminded him, grinding his hips down, then up again, feeling their bodies slide together. He let out a gasp and pushed himself up, ducking his head down so he could watch between their bodies as his cock slid along Steve's, bobbing and straining together. He moved his hips again, relishing the burn. Steve's hand, slick from Tony's juices, shot down between them and wrapped around both of their cocks, holding them together. Tony's body rocking just enough to rub. The twin sensations of their cocks slowly grinding together and Steve's hand holding him sent sparks of fiery heat coiling low in his belly, tightening everything. His breathing stuttered, stopped, then started again in little pants. We were watching for German ski patrols. They were all over the place, Steve said, keeping up a steady rhythm with his hand twisting and rubbing its way almost idly up and down their cocks. He gazed up at the ceiling, eyes unfocused for a moment. It was only after Steve started moving his other hand up and down that Tony realized he had stopped moving his hips and was holding his breath. He forced himself to let it out in a long hiss of air through his teeth. I thought for sure they'd hear him. The nuns started singing a hymn, very Sound of Music of them. You told me about it on the way out here, Tony said, looking up at Steve and letting out a burst of air that seemed to have gotten stuck in his throat. His hips were thrusting into Steve's hand in stuttering, disjointed motions. His balls felt tight and heavy, stretched full. He wanted more, but didn't want to stop. When we had to stop for donuts on account of the typhoon. Pretty sure that wasn't a typhoon, seeing as how we were in Nebraska, Steve argued agreeably. His voice sounded tinny, distant in Tony's ears, tight, like the words had to unwind before they could come out. Goose flesh pebbled the skin across Steve's chest, where Tony's hot breath touched it on each thrust of his hips. Bucky found some potatoes in the rubble. Tiny little things, small as a baby's fist. They were frozen, but we cooked them in a little tin box with some melted snow, held them in our hands to keep warm while we ate. That was Christmas 44. You used to boil me potatoes at the cabin, Tony said in a thin, breathy voice. He squeezed his eyes shut. He could feel heat fan out over his skin in a prickling sensation. Long, slow strokes of Steve's hand, the softly grating catch of paper-thin skin on skin, a puff of breath punched out through his nose, and he looked down between them again. Small white beads of fluid dotted the slick, soaked skin of Cox and Steve's hand. He wasn't sure if it was his or Steve's or both. Please, please, I need, Tony stammered. Out of breath, or out of words, he wasn't sure. Steve's hand slowed, then stopped. His thumb rubbed a circle over the head of Tony's cock, and Tony groaned low and deep. He could feel it echo in his chest. A sharp cry gutted out of him,
followed by a high, keening whine as Steve ran his thumb over the slit at the head of Tony's cock, back and forth, slowly, but with a gentle pressure, digging in just enough to reach the delicate flesh inside. "What do you need?" "Take what you need, baby," Steve asked, barely a whisper, but whip crack loud in Tony's head. "Yes. Yes, Alpha." He pushed Steve's hand away and sat up, all business now. Twisting around, he pinwheeled his legs until he was facing the wall opposite the bed, each leg bent at the knee and tucked up under him on either side of Steve's hips. Munch's "The Scream" was framed in front of him, a gift from Rhodey during freshman orientation. "It's this or water lilies, man, so you gotta go with this, trust me." "You and me both, buddy," Tony thought, staring at the undulating lines curving around the figure clutching the sides of his face, mouth frozen in a silent shout. Reaching behind him with one hand, he found Steve's cock where it jutted up from the thatch of dark blonde hair at the juncture of Steve's thighs. He stroked his hand up and down it, spreading the slick until it was well coated. Steve grunted, then let out a curse almost too quietly for Tony to catch. Tony lifted his hips, canting them forward, then angling himself back until he felt the tip of Steve's cock catch against the rim of his hole. Tony drew in a breath. A fresh rush of slick ran out of him. Behind him, he heard Steve bite off a groan. Hands gripped his hips, giving him purchase. He slowly pushed back and down, feeling the burning stretch of muscle as Steve's cock pressed into his hole. It never seemed like it would work, that first part of the way, when Steve was barely inside of him. It always seemed like it must be impossible. But then his body twitched, gave way, and Tony was sliding down Steve's cock, taking him in, sinking down until he was fully seated. He stopped, steadied himself, and sucked in a breath. He stretched his arms over his head and let one hand fall down next to his cheek, arching his back and moving his hips experimentally. He licked his lips and let his eyes fall closed, pushed himself up, and then let his hips slowly glide down the length of Steve's cock again. "God, yes, that, fuck, it was so good, so very, very good." He found the rhythm and angle quickly, letting Steve take his weight and make it easy on him. The first time, when Steve showed him this, encouraged him to move, to let go, he had been almost too embarrassed to do anything other than let Steve guide him, but, well, he was nothing if not an eager learner. Forward and back, Tony thrust his hips harder, sending Steve's cock deeper into him and, "Fuck, there, God, there." He punched out a hissing breath and sucked in a gulp of air. Warm waves of pleasure radiated out from his cock. He gasped for air again, and his hands found his nipples. They were hard and so sensitive. It hurt to touch, but the good kind of hurt, the kind that snaked its way down to the tip of his cock and sat there with a dull, aching pressure. Down again, and the wave peaked and crested again, over and over. He was shaking, quivering with pleasure, pressure building deep inside, behind his eyes, in his cock, on his skin, his whole body tightening with the force of it. He dropped a hand down to wrap around his cock, giving it a few long, slow pulls. He was close. If Steve touched him, he'd probably come. But he wasn't ready for that, not yet. He wanted this to last, he thought, chasing the feeling of fullness as he slid up and down on Steve's cock. Pinching the base of his cock until he winced, Tony pumped his hips again, harder this time, lifting himself up and slamming back down hard enough to send a jolt of pleasure bursting through his groin, whiting out his vision. Error. The thought came fully formed, bright and beautiful, into the front of his mind. Error processing. Oh, fuck, yes. That's the ticket, Tony thought, eyes snapping open and mouth agape. He pushed himself up again, then back down, snapping his hips in quick, short bursts that sent the head of Steve's cock brushing against his prostate. Not commands. Errors. That's all the feedback loop needed. Errors. Simple. Fuck. Yes, there. Easily detectable. Oh,
Yes, God, yes, that there, right there, he thought disjointedly, making some kind of a noise in the back of his throat. Errors. If you're doing it wrong, that's kind of on you, Steve drawled, making Tony's head snap around. Nyuh, Tony asked, teeth clacking together as he pushed all the way down, again feeling Steve fill him. You kept saying errors, Steve clarified at Tony's blank look. The hands wrapped around Tony's hips tightened their grip, stilling him long enough for his mind to find focus. Oh, no, that's my project, Tony gasped out. My project, he repeated, licking his lips and rocking his hips forward and back experimentally. Good. That was good. Tony, Steve ground out with a low note of exasperation. Are you thinking about your robotics project? Tony began in a burst of air that almost wasn't a word. He pumped his hips again and reached for his cock, only to have Steve shoot out a hand to grab his. Huh? Tony, Steve repeated. I'm multitasking, Tony said, then grinned wickedly and pulled Steve's hand that was clutching his own down to his cock. Oh, so that's what you're calling it, huh? Steve asked, wrapping his hand around Tony's shaft and giving it a slow, languorous pull, twisting his wrist around the head. Tony moaned and tossed his head back, looking up at the ceiling. He closed his eyes, smiled, let the feeling of Steve's hand on him wash over him, a pushing force of pressure that centered on the tip of his cock and spread outward through his stomach and chest, across his nipples and down his spine. Epicenter, he thought hazily, and looked over his shoulder at Steve. Two things I like best in life. You and robots, how can I not get off? Tony asked, waggling his eyebrows at Steve. Steve murmured, all soft and nonchalant. Really, that should have been Tony's first clue. Steve moved fast, and suddenly the only warning was the bunching of muscles against Tony's calves just beforehand. It should have been awkward and jarring, painful even maybe, but Steve was Steve. So when he grabbed Tony by the waist and flipped him over onto the bed underneath him in one swift motion, Tony only managed an undignified yelp before his face was pressed into the cool sheet. Steve driving into him from behind, with one hand on Tony's left hip and the other cupping the back of his neck. Tony giggled, then choked a bit on the saliva as Steve pounded his full length into him. Tony's fingers clawed at the sheets, trying to find purchase as his body rocked forward. His tongue felt suddenly too thick in his mouth, and he let out a long, stuttering moan as Steve continued to ram into him, thrust after thrust. He reached a hand down to grab for his cock where it bounced against his stomach, leaking a thin, steady line of pre-cum that was dotting the sheet beneath him. Steve's hand shot out, grabbed Tony's, and curled his fingers into Tony's palm, pushing both of their hands into the bed. No touchy, Tony thought wildly, and groaned in frustration. Steve pushed Tony's hand into the mattress again, then released Tony's fingers and wound his own hand around Tony's cock. One stroke, then a second, then rapid, hard pulls of Steve's hand while he plunged into Tony's slack hole, slamming the head of his cock into Tony's prostate on each thrust. The hand on the back of Tony's neck clenched reflexively, and his whole body jerked. His back bowed, the muscles stretched taut as he came with a shout, Steve's hand pumping his cock through the stuttering motions of his hips as his climax washed over him. Steve's thrust had slowed, Tony noticed, when he managed to come back to himself enough to notice anything that wasn't what was happening to his cock. Slow, deep thrusts all the way out until the head of Steve's cock caught on the rim of Tony's hole, and then back in again until Steve's balls slapped against the wet skin of Tony's ass with a sloppy sound. Still thinking about robots? Steve asked. He barely sounded winded. Tony shot him an annoyed look over his shoulder. Well, mostly, he turned his head from where he was grinding his forehead into the mattress and drooled in Steve's general direction, but whatever. He felt he made his point. Steve laughed then and sped up his thrusts, giving quick, hard snaps of his hips that soon lost all sense of rhythm. Steve came with a long, low groan, his throat bobbing as the tendons in his neck pulled tight, cock pounding erratically into Tony in the final few stuttering thrusts as he filled Tony with warm spurts of cum. Tony sighed, contentedly, letting his loosened body rock with the motion. Steve grunted and fell forward, sticking out a hand to catch himself. He lowered himself down, pulling Tony's back flush to his chest, and rolled them to the side, away from the mess. Hands coiled under Tony's arms and pulled him tight. He could feel the burgeoning pressure as Steve's knot grew, pulsating deep inside him. This was good, Tony thought, somewhat dreamily. This thing where they became one for a time. It always felt a bit like a feather floating down, swaying back and forth on a gentle breeze as it settled on the ground. Hormones, sure, he knew that, but it felt like more. He reached a hand behind him and traced it lightly over Steve's hip, cupping the curve of his ass. No one else could give Steve this, not like this, not the way Tony could. He wasn't sure how he knew that, but he was as sure of it as he was of any of his equations. Steve's hands glided across Tony's skin, soft, soothing touches that weren't really more than just the simple act of contact, skin on skin. He felt Steve's lips press a gentle kiss against the back of his neck, over the knobs at the top of his spine, then across his shoulder and into the dip of his throat, tongue darting out to taste the sweat-slick skin there. A low, rumbly growl emanated from Steve's chest, warming Tony's back. The knot was huge inside him, filling him in a way that was beyond Steve's cock, deeper, brushing the prostate in a constant push that felt like too much. But he had already gone over the edge, and now he could just fall, float. It would be all right. Steve would catch him. Tony sighed, shifted his hips back a little, felt an answering flare deep within him where they were tethered. Mine, he thought, digging his fingers into Steve's skin. He turned his neck, craning around to find Steve's mouth. The kiss was sweet, almost chaste. Just the two of them connected together, a part of each other. They stayed like that, twisted around one another, foreheads touching, lips barely parted enough for air, until Tony felt the knot slowly dissipate. He blew a puff of air out over his lips as Steve slipped out of him. He felt empty. Not bad empty exactly. Loose, open, laid bare, separate, his mind supplied, and he scrubbed a hand vigorously over his face. Tony twisted around and rolled over into the warm hardness of Steve's chest. He laid his head over where the scar would have been if Steve did normal things like scar and listened to the muted thwump, thwump of Steve's heartbeat echo in his ear. He tucked his hands up between them and grasped the dog tags in his fist, closing his eyes as he held them and let Steve hold him. Maybe not so separate, he thought blearily, opening his eyes and looking up at Steve. Steve's face was curved into that soft, gentle look he got sometimes when he looked at Tony, his eyes crinkling at the corners. Steve ran a hand over Tony's hair, smoothing it back where sweat had left it in curly clumps against Tony's forehead. Did Marita ever go back and find her? Delia Fiocca, Tony asked, throat clicking a bit as he tried to remember how to get it to work properly. No, Steve replied, and left it at that. Or would have. Tony nudged his chin down and patted his hand lightly on Steve's stomach. Steve sighed, tightening his arm that was slung around Tony's shoulders. After the war, he moved back to Fresno, married, two kids, worked in a bottling plant. Died of a heart attack in 78, Steve said. Fury gave me his file after I woke up. His grandson is a teacher in New York, Steve added. Almost an afterthought, though Tony didn't think it really was. I'm sorry, Tony offered, though it sounded hollow to his own ears. He wasn't sure what the apology was for exactly. The loss of Marita, or Steve reading about it in a file. Both, he supposed. But Steve was his, and maybe Steve had wanted to read about Marita and Delia Fiocca and her sauce, not a bottling plant in Fresno and a heart attack, or something.
something that wasn't everyone he knew, just going on with their lives. They all let him go, Tony thought, with a dull flash of pain deep in his chest. He died, and they all mourned, but they closed the gap where he had been and went on. The dog tags around Tony's neck suddenly felt heavy, and he found himself instinctively sinking down, pressing himself closer to Steve. For a moment, he missed the cabin with a bright, burning fierceness that startled him with its intensity. It stung at the edges of his eyes and made his breath hitch.
I wouldn't let him go, Tony thought,
the certainty of the knowledge almost calming in a strange way.
He almost had the words then, in that moment, to tell Steve what he meant to him, that he could never, ever leave Steve behind, because Steve was a part of him, not something he could carve out piecemeal and put aside with other regrets and might have beens.
He almost had it, but then the words slipped away, slipped into something deeper, some under knowledge, and disappeared. I love you, Tony said instead, glancing up at Steve. Steve's gaze found Tony and grew focused, sharp and clear and bright. I love you too, Steve said. He hugged Tony tighter to him and cupped the back of his head, craning his neck down to place a kiss against the bridge of Tony's nose. Hungry? Steve asked, seemingly out of nowhere. But Tony's stomach rose up and rumbled loudly, and damn, he really was starving, he realized with a sense of revelation. Waffles? Tony requested, smiling. Steve rolled his eyes. I'm not saying that if you toss them onto my plate from the kitchen, that I'll be suitably impressed. I'm saying, as conservation of energy goes, that's a long walk from the kitchen to the table that doesn't really need to occur.
For science.
Maybe you should get one of your robots to do that for you, seeing as how you find that sort of thing so... Steve stopped, looked down at Tony, eyes narrowing. The ceiling fan. That's it, isn't it? That's your robotics project. You built a waffle-tossing robot. It also tosses pancakes? Tony replied with a lopsided smile. I mean, in theory, it will one day be able to throw things like smart mines and grenades, but I figured start at breakfast food and probably work my way up, you know? I blame James for this, Steve said, around a sigh. He rubbed a hand over his forehead and scraped it back over his head, making his hair stand on end. In fairness, Rhodey wanted to start with bagels, but I made an inappropriate Open Sesame reference and was told we couldn't do that anymore, Tony said after a beat. He let out a whooping laugh at Steve's expression, then leaned up and kissed Steve's mouth into a smile. Now, get up and throw food at me. But, you know, in a romantic way. You're weird, Steve observed, scrunching his face up, then sighing with heavy exaggeration. But don't worry. I guess you're my kind of weird. The end.